Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today I have a fun guest with me, Carla Wainwright, and we're going to talk about midlife alchemy, because I can talk, I'm a professional, turning change into power and purpose. Welcome to the show, Carla.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm really happy to be here.
And I love that you're coming to us from Mexico from having just done a retreat. That's amazing.
Yes. It's exciting to be here in the warm and the sunshine.
I know, right? It's so hard. I'm looking at dreary weather here. So as we got ready to have a little backstage green room chit chat, I was like, oh, wait, we have to hit record because I think this is going to help. Nonetheless, I just want to share the story. I am the youngest of four, and I think my mom was 28 when I was born. And I always heard her say, I've just done nothing but raise kids my whole life. Which she did. She got married at 16, had my brother at 17, and raised kids her whole life. And I always heard that. And then she was turning 50, and we had a surprise party for her, and she was mortified because she was thin, but she had really thin legs, and she hated people to see her legs, which was stupid. They were beautiful. They were perfect, but she got called chicken legs so much. She was like, oh. And I can remember that she and my dad had gone out to dinner for her birthday, and she wanted to go to Long John Silver's, which is a fast food fish place here, which is hilarious because she doesn't even like fish. She just liked the fried food. And she had on shorts, a short set. I mean, she wasn't like super casual, but she had on shorts and a shirt. And she came walking in, the whole house was full of people, and she immediately dropped down to her knees and went, oh my God, why didn't you tell me I would have put pants on? And so she immediately ran to her bedroom and put on slacks because she didn't want everybody seeing her legs. Everybody there knew her. They had all seen her legs, but it was a thing for her. But we had that birthday party. Her birthday was in July. We had that birthday party. And I'm pretty sure it was like the next week. She was a new person. She was younger. She was more active. She was more optimistic about life. And I was like, where has this woman been all my life? I'm going to do this earlier. I'm not going to wait till 50. And lo and behold, I turned 50 and my whole world changed. And it was like for the better, like way for the better. And I was like, holy crap, what happens that you turn? I don't even have kids. So it's not like I got my kids out of the house. So now I can do what I want. I've always done what I wanted. And so I'm like, what is it about that? And then all of a sudden you find power and purpose because my mom did. Like she was just, she just came into her own like the week after her 50th birthday. Okay, go.
Oh, first of all, I love that story. So thank you. I have this picture of your mom showing up at that party. Yes, you know, there is something really remarkable that can happen for women. You know, it sounds like in some ways for her, it was kind of a spontaneous change. But of course, there were things happening in the background. But that's not the reality for all women, but I absolutely think that that is possible. And so there is this incredible transformation that happens as a woman enters midlife and then really crosses that threshold of menopause into what the Taoists call the second spring, which is this really beautiful description of the empowerment and the possibility that happens to women when they really move through this rite of passage. And there's a whole bunch of different things I'd love to say about this. So What's happening from a physiological level, of course, is that our hormones are changing. You know, that starts in our usually in our early 40s. Estrogen and progesterone are declining. And one of the things that happens there is that those particular chemicals, they serve a variety of different really important purposes in our body. So a lot of it is around reproduction, but there's also these neuroprotective effects that these chemicals have. And so when those begin to shift and the other neurochemical armor begins to shift, our personalities in many ways, they begin to shift in addition as well. And so this is, it really supports us. Our hormones are supporting us to step into a version of ourselves that is tends to be much more honest and straightforward and clear about what our needs are and what we want, rather than those people-pleasing roles that were perhaps more important in our earlier life. And there's all kinds of like biological and evolutionary reasons for that. But this journey that we take through our hormones and our changing bodies really supports us to step into a more authentic and, in many ways, liberated version of ourselves, an opportunity to prioritize ourselves, to be clear about what it is that we want, and to feel the empowerment and the capacity to actually voice that. And in many ways, that happens for women for the very first time. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about like the I Don't Care Club. Well, maybe you haven't, but there's like this
On
whole movement, right?
Facebook. Oh
Yeah,
my
on
gosh.
socials.
Yes, it's hilarious. And I'm like, oh, I get that. Yeah, I get
Yeah,
that.
exactly. And that's why it's so huge, is because women, as they're, you know, in midlife and going through this transition, it's just like, yeah, all these things that I used to have to care about, don't care about them so much anymore, and feel, you know, empowered to actually express that. And yeah, it's really amazing. It's really amazing. So it sounds like your mom had this awakening in many ways, and also for yourself, that, you know, you really noticed the shift that happens around that 50-year mark.
She had a big deal where the house had to be perfect all the time. And then a little bit later in life, she said, you know, that was kind of your dad too. I mean, I wanted everything in its place, but your dad really wanted it too. So it was kind of like a both, we both want this. And my dad helped a lot. So it wasn't like everything was dumped on her. But I remember a friend of mine was in town that knew my parents, and we went over there and just, I had a key. I unlocked the door, walked in. They weren't there. They had just moved to this house. And so I was showing her around the house, and my mom hadn't made her bed. And so that afternoon, I talked to my mom and I was like, such and such was in town, and we went to see the house, and your bed wasn't made. Like, what was that about? And she goes, well, I can do whatever I want. And I was like, but I've never seen your bed not made. Like, that was like a cardinal sin. You're going straight to hell tomorrow, whether you're dead or not, for not making your bed. So, yep, she got that I don't care thing. The house was spotless, but her bed wasn't made.
That's great. I have to say, though, I still make my bed.
Do too. I do too. But, you know, I mean, I might quit. I don't know. But I do make my bed. It is made right now.
That's great. That's great.
I love that. And that I don't care movement. So, okay. So, some women, like my mom, like you say, she just woke up one day and was like, I am over all this crap. Other women, I'm sure it's more of a journey. I'm going to use the word struggle. It's more like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, and it's that struggle to come out and step into their own. I'm sure you see the whole gamut of possibility.
Yeah, I would say that many women really struggle in the transition. And you know, in fact, it is actually a time for many women where they really feel like they're really uncertain about their purpose and identity. And you know, it's the age of 45 to 55 is actually the greatest time, like in terms of age, that women commit suicide. Because they're really struggling. So the struggle can be really real. So in terms of the symptoms that we experience, and then just our sense of purpose, and then how to be able to navigate some of the more challenging aspects of what's happening, changing in our bodies and our brains. And also we lose a huge number of women in the workforce as well. I think it's like over 10% of women actually leave work because of their menopausal symptoms, because they feel like they can't function anymore. And I think another 25% of women actually, consider leaving work. So it is not smooth sailing for everyone, absolutely. And I think that, in many ways, we have been culturally conditioned to feel like menopause is a decline, that aging is a decline, that we don't have worth anymore. We have a hyper youth-obsessed culture. And so, none of us are really immune to that. I mean, maybe the odd woman is, but so there's a lot of conditioning that we have to overcome to really feel the potential empowerment and the, what I really believe is stepping into the most powerful time of our lives. But this is not what we're taught. And you're really fortunate that you have a mother who modeled this, because this is one of the most important things. If we have women in our life who actually model stepping in fully to themselves and have that confidence and radiance and all of those pieces, this is just like, this is the most incredible teaching that we can have. But many of us don't have that. So it can be really, really challenging to reframe this whole idea of like, no, this is not a decline. This is actually stepping into the most powerful time of my life. And women need that support. They need to see it in others, and they need to know it's possible, and they need to know how to take care of themselves so that their bodies feel strong and vibrant enough to step into that place. And I think this, we're as wonderful as modern science is, society is not healthy. People and women are not healthy in their bodies. And so this compounds the symptoms and the stress and the experiences they have, which make, that transition even more difficult.
Well, and I have a friend, Bobbi Castellino Lewis. I just adore her. And when I met her, I think she was 67, 68-ish. And we became just fast friends just immediately. And she said, "I'm writing a book. I'm going to publish it for my 70th birthday." And COVID hit, and that slowed down the production and the actual publishing. So I think she was 71 when it came out. But the title of it was This is 70. And it was just like a picture book and storybook of her life. And it was beautiful. It was like a large coffee table size book. And she was like, "This is it. This is what 70 is. And you can be vibrant and you can have a life and you can start over." Like, she worked on Wall Street and then she moved to LA and took over that whole area. And she's now posting pictures. She turned 75 in August, and she's posting pictures. She's going to Pilates, and she is solid and strong. Like, she's always been very a health fit person and thin and trim and fit, but now she's like, she wants washboard abs. And I keep seeing her posts on Facebook, and she's like, "This is what 75 can look like." And I'm like, yeah, she's just like you're saying. She is that role model that other people need to see. And being in the energy healing space, one of the methodologies I use is called energetic magic. And it's, what story are you carrying around? Is your story that, "Oh, I'm old, I'm decrepit, I can't do anything"? And I struggled a lot. I had one knee replaced in the spring of 2024. 8 weeks later, it was like I had never had surgery. I just like bounced right back. A year later, in April of 25, I have the second one, and the recovery is not the same. And they're just like, "No, two are the same." And I'm like, "Screw you. It should be. Like, I'm the same person." Like, I'm cussing out everybody with all kinds of colorful language. And in July, I was on massive steroids just so I could go on this business trip to California. And we're on the way to the airport, and a crown on my molar broke off. And I called the dentist the next day, and I was like, "Just glue this back on." And I went in, and he goes, "You broke part of your tooth. I can't glue it on. We're gonna have to do a new crown." Okay, great. So we start that process. They put a temporary on, it breaks off to the gum line. And I was like, "Ugh." So I have to, of course, go in and see an oral surgeon. We have to do a tooth extraction. Bone graft and an implant. I still don't have a tooth yet. It's going to be months. They have to let everything heal, I guess. They put me on massive antibiotics, and the crown failed because there was decay in the tooth because the crown had been failing, but it was a metal crown, so they couldn't see it on an x-ray. Like, I went to the dentist regularly, but they couldn't see it. And that's what caused it all. Well, so of course, I'm on massive antibiotics for any infection with this oral surgery. And if you have a joint replaced and you have a dental problem, it like the infection goes straight to that new joint. It's a big deal. 3 weeks after I have that tooth removed that nobody even knew was decaying, my recovery just skyrocketed. And I went to physical, and that was April 22nd. Today is November 25th. On November 24th, I went to physical therapy because I go till insurance won't let me go anymore because I think that's important. She was like, "Yeah, this feels so much better." And I was like, "You get that infection out of your mouth, and your body can do what it's supposed to do. Like, but it can't with the infection." So now I'm back to my same story. You don't have to have a horrible recovery. And I didn't have pain. I just couldn't do things, which is very different than a painful recovery. But it was like, man, they say your mouth and your teeth health is so important. And it literally just hung me up. And now I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I can get back to the life that I want. I may not be Bobby because I may not want to work out every day and have abs of, a washboard, but I can do more, we can do better, and we don't have to sit down and die.
Oh my goodness, of course not. Of course not. And we could go down a whole rabbit hole about the teeth and the connection of the whole body, but yes, so absolutely. And I'm so glad that that was able to be resolved, and that you're healing really well. I have this for myself. I really spend time regularly, almost like future casting my future self, like seeing who I am in my 90s and seeing myself as being vibrant and hiking and being connected to nature and being able to get up off of the floor. Let's say I've got grandkids and I'm playing with them. Well, they'd be older, maybe great
Great
grandkids,
grandkids,
but and I really feel like the choices that I make today, my future self is thanking me. And I have that vision of her. And she's not decrepit. She is vibrant and alive and just living her best life in every moment. And I think your friend is a beautiful example of this. It's like, she's strong and vital and doing all of these incredible things. And absolutely all of that is possible. And so I love that you have her as a possibility of what can be. And I think it's really important for us to take that time to envision ourselves as older. And it's like, what does that look like? And what does it feel like? And then what are the choices that I can make today that are going to help make that future vision of me possible?
I love that idea of future casting. Could you go into that a little bit more? I will journal very intermittently. I love journal prompts when I do actually sit down to journal. I have found evidence of manifesting things after I retired very early from the federal government to start speaking and training and doing all these fun things I'm doing now. I found in a file a piece of paper from a notebook that I wrote in all the time. They were 8.5 by 11s, and you'd just tear a sheet off. And I'm a note taker. And I had turned it sideways, and at the top it said 3 to 5 year goals. And so it had up on one corner, it was like, in the next 6 months, I want to accomplish. In the next 3 to 5 years, I want to accomplish. And so I had written out that I wanted to become a trainer, like a leadership development trainer, not like physical trainer, but leadership development type trainer. And then I had laid it out. I want to go find some courses online. I want to do this. I want to do this. And I want to retire in 5 years. And there was not a date on that paper. But I'm pretty sure it was about 5 to 7 years from when I did that paper until they came in and said, you can retire early. And it was like the power of putting that down on paper is incredible. And I've had other things happen, but that's like the most relevant, important piece of my life and in a big transformation that happened to me, because going from a full-time federal employee to an entrepreneur was a huge leap.
So I absolutely agree that taking the time to really engage that creative process and put things on paper, I will be the first to admit I get an F in journaling. It's not my forte. I want to be so desperately a really good journaler, but it's just I struggle with that. However, I do exercises like the one that you're describing, where, I will, like we're talking about, kind of like future cast, like what is it that I envision in terms of my desires? Like, where is my desire function coming through in terms of creating, manifesting this vision that I have for myself? And I like to take it one step further. In the work that I do, the experience of the body is so important. And there's so much wisdom in our bodies, and particularly for women, we have this deep intuitive knowing that sits in our sexual organs, in our womb space. So whether you have a physical womb or not is not important. The energy of that is there, and this is where our creative life force capacity lives. And I mentioned earlier this idea of the second spring, which comes from the Taoist system. It's a was written in the book by the Yellow Emperor, who lived 3000 BC. So it's really old. It's 5,000-year-old text that informed all of traditional Chinese medicine. And in that book, it talks about how when a woman stops menstruating, that her sexual life force energy, instead of losing that, gets channeled back up into the heart and becomes this incredible potent force that she can create the life that she desires, that she can use that energy. And instead of losing it monthly, it begins to amplify and amplify and amplify and grow. And so it's such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful description, I think enormously powerful. The reason that I share that is that when we are envisioning what it is that we want to create, we can use that sexual energy, that creative life force energy, as the fuel towards manifestation. And the body has this enormous wisdom. And so when we're envisioning something, which is very much coming from our intuitive knowing, but it's also coming from our thinking mind, how can we drop it into the felt sense? So perhaps, you're envisioning yourself at 90, or maybe it's just at 60, or, maybe it's next week, whatever that is. And giving yourself the experience of closing your eyes and moving through your senses to really imprint what it is that experience will be like through your five senses. So, for instance, if I take the example of me at 90, and I close my eyes, and it's like, what are all the things that I see that let me know that this desire that I have for myself at that age has arrived, that it's actually, I'm living it. So just really pinpointing through my vision. And then what are the things that I hear? What are the things that I'm touching or feeling in my body? Where, what is it that I'm smelling? What does this desire smell like? What does it taste like? This gets really deep into different parts of the nervous system, the limbic system, and also the primal brain. And it's like when these parts of you, particularly the primal brain, really feels that it can, because it can't tell the difference between the present and the future. If it's really having this sensory experience of what it is that you desire, it creates this really beautiful container of safety, and it propels you towards what it is that you want. So I love this kind of practice of taking the time to envision, writing it down. There's certainly something very powerful that happens in the brain when we actually write, and put pen to paper, and then taking that one step further into the embodiment, into the nervous system of future casting through your senses, and really having that full embodied lived experience, like through the landscape of your being, all of those different parts of what that's like. And I can't tell you how powerful this is because it's like you create a roadmap for your nervous system that wants to move towards what it is that you are envisioning and creating in your life.
This is so powerful. I love it so much, and I love that like you put so much context around it, because like I've heard journaling, I've heard you've got to create a vision. I've even teach on you've got to create a vision for what you want, but I love that embodiment piece, like go through like what is it going to look like? What is it going to feel like? What is it going to smell like and taste like? And what is my life going to be like? And the interesting thing is, we can make it what we want. If we don't like the life we have now, we can create a new one. I read a book. It's a kind of a children's book, elementary school book, and I think it's called The Boy Who Carried Bricks. And the author is, it's an autobiography. He's from Oklahoma, and he was born into poverty and lots of children and not enough food, and he was like, I don't really like this life, and I'm gonna do a horrible job summarizing this, but like he called Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services, and said, come get me, I don't want to live here anymore, and went into foster care because he didn't want to live where he lived. And his grandfather was a huge influence in his life. But he went on, he went to college, he got married, he's a minister, he's got a wife and several children. Like, he literally created this life that he wanted. And I was talking to a friend of mine who had a rough childhood, and I said, well, and mine was not. I had awesome parents. And I said, I just can't imagine knowing at 8 years old you're living in the wrong place and this is not where you're supposed to be. And she goes, oh, at 10, I knew. And it took me till I was 16 to move out of the house, but I did it. Like, and I was like, what? So think about how powerful for a little kid to decide, I am not doing this. My uncle did it. His parents were divorced, way back when, in the 30s, 1930s. Oh my God, almost 100 years ago. And he knew he'd have to help take care of his mom. And he made a plan and he went to West Point. He became a general. He worked his way up to a general in the army so that he could work and take care of his mom. But as a little kid, he decided his future. And I think there's something super powerful about a little kid making those powerful decisions and then living them out. For me, that was not. My whole life has been like whatever comes next is okay and great and good. But when I do stop to put some intentionality into what do I really want, what comes is even better, which is like, wait, I don't have to go into work. I don't have to worry about the government shutdowns. I don't have to do any of that. And I get to do this instead. Like, I hadn't envisioned this. Like, how fun is this to get to meet amazing people and learn new stuff. So, man, so powerful. And I love that you don't journal all the time either. So that's
I vouched myself, yeah.
I heard a thing of it. It was share with your audience like your best morning routine. And I was like, best morning routine. Okay. Huh. And he goes, it doesn't mean you do it. It's just like what's your best, like if you gave somebody advice, your best. And I was like, oh, that feels really good. Like, I like that. Like, this is what I would do if I were spectacular, but I'm just kind of okay right just gonna do this right now. Oh my gosh. So I love that you took us through all this. So, how do you work with people? Like, you're in Mexico right now. You just wrapped up a retreat. That sounds amazing. I love Mexico. I've been many times, and there's something magical and mystical about that land in and of itself. What do you do? How do you work with people? How do you
Absolutely.
change all
So,
these lives that you're impacting so that
yeah.
75 we can be Bobby Castellino Lewis?
So yeah, I just finished a retreat called Radiant Renewal for women 40 plus, really stepping into the second spring and moving through really that transformation and the chrysalis and figuring out with clarity, what is my next step? Who do I want to step into, and how do I claim that? And I do work, I feel very fortunate that my background draws upon so many different types of practices and modalities. So I'm originally trained as a scientist. I have the scientific background, but I'm also, firmly in the woo-woo camp too, where, I'm very much about embodiment and sacred practices. I'm also trained as an earth priestess, a tantrika, and longtime yoga instructor. So I love bringing in all of these various pieces because, there's just so much richness to pull upon from so many different practices and traditions and modalities. So retreat is wonderful because it gives women an opportunity to really step away from their lives and have the time to drop in and relax and get away from the responsibilities and have the spaciousness. And so, if a woman can make a retreat happen in her life, I absolutely recommend it because it is one of the most powerful ways to initiate transformation. But that's, of course, not possible for everyone. I do a lot of work one-on-one with women, so one-on-one coaching, which is, very tailored to whatever it is that a woman is going through and what her desires are. And I do some group program work as well. That's a little bit more focused on metabolic health, which I really am very passionate about, so that, we can support our bodies to be vibrant and healthy and alive and functioning at their best capacity, so that all of the other things that we want to do creatively that come from our heart, that come from that intuitive sexual power that we all have, is really able to manifest fully. So, we have to take care of the physical vessel so that our soul spiritual blueprint and design can really shine through. So I kind of do all the things.
Oh, I love that. And so, how do we get hold of you? How do we find you, Carla?
Yeah, so the best way to get a hold of me, I have a free gift for your listeners called the Vibrancy Guide, and it's got these beautiful, very actionable steps for a woman to just feel more energized, balanced, and great in her body right away. That takes you to my website, so that's vibrancyreset.com. And like I said, that takes you directly to my website, and you can find out everything about me and connect with me there.
Oh my gosh, this has been a super fun conversation for me. I hope the listeners got a lot out of it because it was super fun for me. I love all this information, and I will be sharing your gift with my friends also in the episode when it publishes. But this has been a delightful conversation, and I want to connect with you more because I think we've got some synergy that we could share info with each other. And I love that you have multiple modalities because I do too. And it's fun to see them all come together. And somebody was asking me about, oh, well, do you believe this? Do you believe that? And I was like, I believe it all works. Like, if you need to go wash your crystals and put them out in a full moon, you should do that. If you think you need to put them on the windowsill for sunlight, you should do that. Do I do any of that? Absolutely not. But if you think you should, you should do all those
Totally agree. There's
and
so many paths, right? And we're each so unique. And if you feel that connection, that pull, then follow that. Absolutely.
oh, I love this. This has been such a great conversation, Carla. And I think I also had to reschedule you. So thanks for being flexible to make this happen. And I'm wishing you all the best. And I can't wait to reconnect with you later.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, everyone. I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success. And I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.